Some recent reissues of well-known operettas and a performance of a little-known one got our music critic Lloyd Schwartz thinking about the soothing nature of light opera.
Last summer, on a short visit to Vienna, the home of Demel's chocolates and the Zacher Torte, I saw a charming operetta from the 1930s, Bewitched Maiden, by a composer famous in Vienna, but new to me, Ralph Benatzky, who emigrated to Hollywood during the Nazi regime, but didn't find success in America. If opera, opera, is the Italian word for work, then operetta means something lighter, sweeter, a little work. Less work for the composer, but also less work for the listener, who doesn't have to grapple with the vast scale, the historical or moral complexities of grand opera, or the musical subtleties of the great comic operas. I found Benatzky's music irresistible enough to buy a copy of the record in the lobby. Here's the star comedian of the German stage, Uwe Kröger, singing the Chanson of Hocus Pocus, in which his interference is about to change the hero's luck from bad to worse before the happy ending.
Es geht nicht immer und alles so glatt, wie man will. Es treten Hemmnisse auf. Noch bevor man am Ziel, soll man es lassen darum. Wie Gott bewahr, anstatt grad, probiert man's krumm. Gewiss, der Weg ist nicht neu, doch der Vorschlag ist kühn. Und der Franzose nennt das Corriger la Fortune. Mit bloßer Anständigkeit kommt man nur selten auf einen grünen Zweig. Tja, man macht sein Hokuspokus wie die Bussia. Das ist das Einzige, was helfen muss, denn das ist die patentierte neue Schleue.
In Europe, operetta is still a national tradition. Offenbach in France, Gilbert and Sullivan in England, Johann Strauss in Germany and Austria. In this country, it was a major source of American musical comedy and had a brief revival in the film musicals of Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy. But now it's virtually extinct. By the 1920s, Broadway musicals were rebelling against the excessive sweetness of operetta. Not only the corny Ruritanian plots, but all the waltzes and marches. After the heyday of Victor Herbert, Americans wanted something literally jazzier, more syncopated. Enter Irving Berlin, Rodgers and Hart, and Cole Porter, who changed the landscape. But maybe it's time to look back. The record label indispensable to lovers of musical comedy, DRG, has been re-releasing some wonderful 50-year-old Decca and Columbia operetta recordings, titles that in themselves recall a bygone era of almost silent movie naivete. The Desert Song, The Student Prince, The Merry Widow, Babes in Toyland. There's an art to singing this kind of music. It can be impossibly arch and cloying if it's condescended to. Here's the great Wagnerian tenor, Lauritz Melchior, taking seriously the famous drinking song from Sigmund Romberg's The Student Prince.
Drink, 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 wo ist das Abreit, das Tausend erscheining an mir. Drink, 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 wo liebst da red, an speed as the fruit on the tree. Here's a hope that those bright eyes will shine lovingly, longingly soon into mine. May those lips that are red and sweet tonight with joy my own lips meet.
Drink, drink, let the toast start.
You may remember Kitty Carlisle from the TV game show To Tell the Truth, or as the love interest in the Marx Brothers' A Night at the Opera. She was a lovely singer. Here she is in one of the most enchanting songs in any operetta, Vilja from Franz Lehár's The Merry Widow. I don't know if operetta will ever really catch on again, but it's an appealing oasis from serious thinking and a happy reminder of a time when it was still possible to have an illusion of innocence.
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix.